Let's pray together. Almighty God, as the prophet prayed, your word burns like a fire in our bones that we cannot keep it in. And as the rains fall and water the earth, so your word goes forth and accomplishes that which you have purposed for it. We pray that your word would speak to us this morning. We pray that you would give us open hearts, open ears to hear what you have for us, to receive your love, and to worship you in spirit and truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you'll remember the news story in the summer of 2018. There was a time where the world was gripped by a massive rescue operation in Thailand, where a boys' soccer team and their assistant coach had been exploring a local cave system, massive cave system, and they were trapped by the rising floodwaters. And they were forced to go deeper and deeper into the caves to stay above the water. And they managed to get to a spot where they were safe from the water, but they were trapped. They were 3 kilometers from the entrance and about 1 kilometer below the surface. And they were safe, but their only hope was that they would be found and rescued because they could not get out. So it didn't take too long for their parents to wonder where they were and then figure out they were in this cave. They alerted the authorities. Volunteers came to help, but no one could even get into the caves by that point. And then word spread, and more volunteers came to help. And the Thai Navy SEALs were on the scene within a day or so, and their expert divers couldn't make any progress in finding the boys. And then word spreads more. Social media starts to buzz with this. Journalists come and start to spread the word, and suddenly the world is watching this. That the soccer team, 12 boys and one coach, are trapped in this cave, and volunteers are flying in from all over the world to help where they can. It took 9 days for the first divers to find the boys, and all of them were alive. It took another 2 days to figure out how to get them out. Then it took another 3 days to execute the plan and slowly bring all 13 out safely. They were in the cave for 2 weeks, but eventually they were rescued. And this small event in their lives became this international incident. The world that is so divided was briefly united in prayer and in hope and support for this rescue operation. What began as a small mistake resulted in this massive, internationally supported rescue. The rescue ended up being so much greater than the mistake. This is Paul's main point as we come to our passage in Romans 5 today. The rescue operation executed by Jesus Christ to redeem us from sin was so much greater than the transgression that brought us into sin. The free gift is not like the trespass, Paul says, because it is so much greater. So I do want to invite you to open your Bibles with me, in your pew Bibles. We have the page number listed in your bulletin. But we're in Romans chapter 5. Starting at verse 15, we're looking at a bird's eye view of the history of redemption, this cosmic perspective of our salvation through Jesus. And our passage, which starts in verse 15, actually has us jumping into the middle of a train of thought for Paul. If you go back just a little bit, starting in verse 12, Paul is comparing and contrasting Adam and Jesus Christ and the effect of each one's work. So Adam and Christ are put in parallel here. Adam is called a type of the one who is to come, which is Jesus in verse 14. Jesus is called the second Adam by Paul in 1 Corinthians. So they're put in parallel here, but as we'll see, they're not equal. They're not the same. But these two figures, Adam and Christ, are representative heads of humanity. So Adam, the first human, represents all of humanity. Throughout Scripture, he is the human race personified. We like to read the Chronicles of Narnia in our house, and if you remember those books, as the kids enter into this magical land of talking beasts and magical creatures, anytime a human is there, they're referred to as son of Adam or daughter of Eve, this encompassing term to represent humanity, personified in Adam. But Jesus, the second Adam, comes to redeem Adam's race. And where Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. And the effect of his work, the effect of his gift, which is his death on the cross, undoes the effects of Adam's trespass. And as these are representative heads, that means all of humanity either comes down on Team Adam or Team Christ. Scholar Douglas Moo says it this way in his commentary: all people, Paul teaches, stand in relationship to one of two men, whose actions determine the eternal destiny of all who belong to them. Did you hear that? All people stand in relationship to one of two men whose actions determine the eternal destiny of all who belong to them. Either one belongs to Adam and is under sentence of death because of his sin, or one belongs to Christ and is assured of eternal life because of his righteousness. So all who are in Adam will receive condemnation and death. All who are in Christ, on Team Christ, will receive justification and life. And so Paul's task here is contrasting these two men and the effects of what they have done in order to show the surpassing glory and greatness of our salvation in Jesus. Because the gift is not like the trespass. This is the main point that Paul states right at the start of verse 15. The free gift is not like the trespass. The gift of Jesus, his death on the cross, is not like the trespass of Adam, even as they're in parallel to one another. And this is the main point that Paul is making throughout our passage, and he reiterates it, he elaborates it on no less than five times in this short passage. He's not repeating himself, but he is elaborating on the fact of hammering this main point and declaring that the glorious power of Christ's gift to us on the cross is so much greater than Adam's sin, than your sin. So we're not going to go through every verse here, but I want to look mainly at verses 15 and 16 as representative of this teaching. Verse 15 says this: the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So the free gift of God in Christ, when he says free gift, he's referring to Christ's death on the cross, paralleled with the transgression of Adam. Adam's action resulted in sin and death. Jesus' action resulted in life and justification. The free gift of God is greater than Adam's trespass, both in its degree and in its consequence. Verse 16 goes on and says that the free gift is also not like the result of Adam's sin. So the result of the trespass is condemnation, but the free gift brings justification. So verse 16 kind of lays out a formula here. If you read this, the formula is: when judgment is applied to one sin, it leads to condemnation. But when the free gift is applied to many sins, it leads to justification. The one brought death for many, one abounded to life for many. So let's think for a second about the trespass of Adam and what we're talking about, what Paul is referring to. This is the original sin. This is the original doubting God and being tempted by Satan, who said, "Did God really say that? Did God really mean what he said? Do you really trust him?" And when Adam said no to that question and sinned, sin entered into the world and is passed down to every human being. In Adam, all of us are inheritors of sin. All of us stand in the consequence of condemnation. We call this original sin. It's not just original in talking about Adam's original first sin. It's about the sin that exists in every human heart, from the youngest to the oldest. It infects all of us. It condemns all of us. This is not a popular idea in the world today. A lot of people, even some churches, will teach against this, that there is no such thing as original sin, even though original sin probably is the one empirically provable doctrine that we see in the youngest infants and in the oldest saints. All of us have this sinful nature that is inclined to resist the grace of God, to turn away from God, to live in our alienation away from God, and to live for ourselves, to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil, who are our tempters. But in original sin, the whole human race is implicated in this original act of disobedience, because Adam is the head and the representative of all of humanity. And because he sinned, it said, many died as a result. Death reigned through the one man, verse 17 says, because the wages of sin is death. But the free gift, Christ's act of obedience, his death upon the cross, is not like that trespass, because it brings grace and life rather than condemnation and death. Adam's one transgression brought death, and Jesus' death brought forgiveness for thousands, millions, billions of transgressions. And that's just me. We begin to see here why Jesus' work on the cross is so much greater than Adam's fall. Because it was one sin that started it all. Jesus' gift is applied to all of the sins. All of your transgressions. All of Adam's transgressions. All of humanity's transgressions are applied can be changed by the gift of Jesus. The free gift is the undoing of the trespass. And more than just getting us back to square one or getting us back to a neutral ground, the free gift leads to life abounding, justification being made right with God, and then reigning with Christ in glory, verse 17 says. As devastating as the fall was, as morally and spiritually wrecking that original sin was, Christ's act on the cross was so much more powerful than Adam's great sin. So think about it like this. The effect of Adam's one trespass has this trickle-down effect, right? It's passing down along the family tree from person to person, from mother to son and father to daughter. It passes with the generations. And it's powerful. It infects each one of us with the cancer that is original sin. It's powerful and it's slow, passing down along the family tree. But if Adam's sin has the ripple-down effect, Jesus' one act, his once-for-all death upon the cross, is an explosion of grace that ripples up and down that family tree and brings everlasting life to everyone who receives it. all who came before Jesus, all who come after the work of the cross, can be changed by this explosion of grace. Because Jesus' death was a once for all upon the cross, that means his gift is big enough to cover the whole human race. What has effect for Adam has effect for you and me, has effect for all the generations that will come after us until Jesus comes again. His gift is big enough. His death is powerful enough to undo all of the effects of the fall. Where the consequence of Adam's sin dragged us down into the pits of death, the glorious work of Jesus Christ has reached down into that pit, grabbed us, and held us in his strong grip, raising us up not only to escape from death, but to reign with him in righteousness and in life. The gift is so much greater than the trespass. Where Adam's sin was a defeat, Christ's gift is so much more of a victory. Where Adam's disobedience was to our detriment, Christ's obedience is so much more to our glory. Where Adam's trespass ushered in death, Christ's free gift brings us life and abundant life. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Righteousness conquers evil. Life overcomes death because the gift is greater than the trespass. The free gift is not like the trespass because nothing can compare. Nothing can compare to the work of our Savior on the cross by which he redeemed the world. And all who receive him, here's the key for us, all who receive him by faith, who receive the work of Christ on the cross for themselves, are justified in him. Their sins are washed away. The effects of original sin undone. Their allegiance transferred from Team Adam to Team Jesus to find their everlasting life. So here's where we start to move from the bird's eye view to the personal application for us. Because all of this, all of it is applied directly to you. All of it is for you. In your life. If you have received this free gift that is so much greater than Adam's trespass, not to mention all of your trespasses, if you've received this gift, you are free. Your sins are forgiven. You've been reconciled to God, justified in his presence. Because of the free gift of his grace, and by nothing that you have done, by nothing that you can earn for yourself. When you receive the work of Jesus for yourself, you switch teams. Now you play for Team Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are in Christ, is the language of the New Testament. You are in Christ, covered by his benefits, no longer in Adam, no longer a slave to sin, bound for condemnation. You are in Christ and you are free from death. Remember this when temptation comes. Remember this when the world, the flesh, and the devil are speaking to you and trying to pull you away from your allegiance to Team Jesus. Temptation will come. It came for Jesus, the perfect one. And by God's word, he said no. So when temptation does come to you, remind yourself of who you belong to. And know that on Team Jesus, sin has lost its power and death has lost its sting. The devil can tempt you, but he has no authority over you. He has no grip on you because the grip of Jesus is so much stronger, so much greater than the grip of sin. So when you are in Christ, every temptation that comes your way becomes an opportunity again to experience the victory of Christ. Every temptation is an opportunity to experience his victory anew for you, which is for you. And when you do sin, when you do fall away, when you do slip up, no matter how great your sin, no matter how great it is in quantity, no matter how great your sin is in its depth, in its seriousness, whether it's in the secret places of your heart or of sin against others, God's grace abounds to you. Nothing is too great for the greater gift of grace to overcome. You can never sin too many times that the grace of Jesus will not come to you and delight to pick you up again. Because the free gift is not like your trespass. It is greater. It is better. It is stronger than your sin. So we need to remember this when we sin and when we are tempted. We also need to remember this when we are praying for others to come to salvation in Jesus. Many of us pray daily for loved ones, for family or friends or neighbors who are playing on Team Adam, sometimes with great loyalty and zeal for the life of sin and death. But because the free gift is greater than the trespass, there is no one who is too far gone. No one is too great a sinner. No one is beyond the reach of God's mercy in Jesus Christ. I was reminded of this recently. A couple weeks ago, we went to visit my family in Indiana, and I took the opportunity to go visit a friend from high school. And I haven't seen him since graduation, 17 years ago, because most of that time he's been in prison. And he just got out this last year. But he was in prison for one of those crimes that the time you serve in prison can't redeem you in the eyes of the world. He's on a list for the rest of his life. His life will never be the same. And in the eyes of the world, even still, he is irredeemable. And it came to a couple of members of my family that I had visited him, and they were appalled. They were appalled that I went to go visit him and spend time with him, considering him subhuman, considering him not worthy of our time, our presence, our love, not worthy of grace. But there is no one who is too far gone. Author Corrie ten Boom says, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. No pit so deep, no sin too great, that the grace of God is not greater than the trespass. So is there anyone in your life that you have given up on? Is there anyone in your life that you prayed for a time, you've tried to have the conversations, and you've given up because they're too far gone? Don't give up. Don't give up, because God has not given up on them, and the reach of God's arm is not too short that he cannot claim them for himself, that he cannot rescue them. The grace of God in Jesus Christ will always go further. It will always reach deeper. It will always be stronger than the power of sin and death. The free gift is not like the trespass because it is so much greater. And we get all the benefits of that by grace. And so we live our lives in gratitude for the one who has saved us, for the one who has reached into the pits of hell and pulled us out to reign with him in glory. We give praise always to our Savior who has overcome the Adam in us. The gift is greater than the trespass. The rescue is greater than our transgression because Jesus is greater. His mercy goes deeper and his love can never be overcome. So we receive him. We can rest in him. And we are called to daily choose to be on Team Jesus, to rejoice in him and his great rescue, and to continue always to share this good news with ourselves, with our own souls, and with all those who need to hear it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.